This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Many of us simply grew up with them. We didn't even notice that we were learning them, being taught them, being instructed by them. It was the atmosphere. It was the air that we breathed. It was the song, literally, that we sang in church. This is not true of children today, and we are worse off as Christians for it. Children who are not being taught either at home or not even at church, the songs of the faith, the historic songs of the faith that we call hymns, that teach with great depth, with great roots laid down deep in Scripture, what Scripture teaches us of Christ and of the Christian faith. So, in the interest of reviving a practice of teaching these historic songs of the church, these hymns, to our children, we're going to do just that here in the next half hour of Issues Etc. Joining us to do so on this Wednesday afternoon, Kelly Klagis, wife of a Lutheran pastor, mother of two young children in Manitoba, Canada, author of the new book Hosanna Loud Hosanna, A Treasury of Hymns for Children. Kelly, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me on.
How do you respond to those who would say, look, first of all, kids don't like hymns, and second, they can't learn hymns?
Well, I think those questions are connected, and adults sometimes speak of hymns as though they're impossibly hard for children to learn, but I think most of the time they're projecting, because hymns have become difficult for some adults to learn, and so they find that they can't teach them to their own kids. Hymns and other church stuff in general has become boring to more jaded adults who are kind of used to a more entertainment-driven culture, and they communicate that boredom to their kids. But the fact is, kids will like what they're taught to like, and they want to be like their parents, and they value the things that their parents tend to value. So the real question is, how do you get adults out of the whole mentality that hymns are bad? And how do you get the adults to value the historic Christian faith? Because once you learn the value of hymnody, that becomes something that makes sense that you would want to pass on to the next generation.
So maybe the first task here, if we are going to really, what you're talking about is rediscovering, reinstituting a very ancient practice of teaching our children the songs of the faith, the historic songs of the faith, maybe the first thing we need to do is teach our adults those songs, too.
Well, yeah, and there's lots of reasons why Christian adults don't teach hymns to their kids. For the adults, the hymnody is becoming scarce to their own experience. Maybe they were taken out of church as kids in order to experience something that was tailored to their own interests, and then they grow up and they don't even really know what church is all about.
So I'm curious, Kelly, what do you think about the practice nowadays of kind of taking kids out of church entirely? I mean, I remember being taken out of church, but only when I was misbehaving, for obvious reasons. But taking kids out of church entirely to an entirely different venue on Sunday morning, maybe sometimes it's called kids' church, children's church, where the songs that they are taught are decidedly children's songs, decidedly childish songs. What do you make of that?
I think it's really tragic. On the one hand, I don't think there's anything wrong with singing simple songs with children sometimes. But in the church at large, at least in North America, we've bought into a very damaging mindset of segregating the congregation. And part of it's just consumerism, because nowadays every group of people has different things pitched to them that entertain them or appeal to them. And so the tendency is to separate out all these groups so that everybody has the preference that they want. And that's a great plague in our culture that values that level of autonomy and individualism. But the church isn't about catering to individualism. It's about bringing together different people in the unity of Christ, not each to his own tastes, but into a communion that transcends those tastes. And I know that people of all ages love to hear my kids singing in church along with the hymns. I think it really benefits our congregation. It shows that those kids are just as much a part of the body of Christ as those who may be taller or smarter or older. They're there to hear God's word and receive the blessings that it gives and confess their faith just like anybody else, and they do.
Maybe a even more basic question. When we're talking here this afternoon about hymns, what are we talking about as opposed to what many people think should be the fare for kids, kind of the childish songs?
Well, I'll mention when I first started a family, a question that I was asking myself is, what will we be teaching them, and how will we go about teaching the things that are important? How can we best communicate that faith? And I think we always knew we'd be teaching hymns to our children because it's a given. Hymns teach doctrine, and for that reason, they've always been an important teaching tool for Christians as part of their catechesis. And the churches of the Reformation have certainly always valued hymnody and its role in teaching the faith. And these are the songs of the church. These are the songs that we'll be hearing together as a family every Sunday. I would say good hymns have a timeless quality to them. We don't grow out of them because they're not tied to pop culture. They bridge the generation gap. They connect you to other Christians beyond your own little niche. And I think hymns really equip children in their faith for the long haul, not just for the moment. Because something like Father Abraham, you know, that'll be fun for about a minute. But if you teach them something like On My Heart Imprint Your Image or Lord Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word, those are prayers and powerful songs that really equip children for the rest of their lives. I think that's the value of teaching good hymnody.
If you were talking to a mom and a dad who wanted to do this but had never done it before, they have their kids in church on Sunday morning, so hymns aren't completely unfamiliar to them. They ask you, Kelly, which hymn should I start with? What would your answer be?
If it's something that you're very unfamiliar with, you maybe feel like you don't know a lot of hymns, I'd say start with something that's simple for you that you might already know. You can start with something like Jesus Loves Me or Away in a Manger, something that you're comfortable teaching. I would say that it's important to be teaching your kids things that they are hearing and learning in Sunday morning. And that's why all of the songs in the book that I made, they all correspond to songs that exist in the LSB, which is the hymnal that my church uses. But yeah, step one for anybody who wants to teach hymns to their kids is to do exactly what you said, to get yourself to church every Sunday to sit with your kids, introduce them to the hymnal, maybe get a couple copies of the hymnal for home use so you can continue to familiarize yourself with those things. And, you know, maybe different hymns would be appropriate for different seasons. You know, you can learn Christmas songs at Christmas time. You can learn Lenten songs in the season of Lent, and that ties into what you're hearing at church, too. So different parents will want to take different approaches and try different things, but that would be my first suggestions for starting to teach hymns.
So kind of walk us through the process, if you would. You've got two young children. How have you gone about teaching them a Christian hymn?
Using the book that I made, what I do is I choose a hymn to learn. We read the words together. We learn the tune. I start asking questions about the pictures, in this case, that go with the words, especially for very young children. I think this is helpful, you know, to point out, where is Jesus? What is he doing in this picture? And that teaches them a little bit what the hymn is trying to communicate. Now, as they grow older, they're going to be able to process more. They're going to be able to answer more challenging questions. That's the nice thing about hymns. You can just keep digging into them. They're very rich. Another thing I've done is chosen a song to use as a bedtime hymn. We like to sing things like I Am Jesus' Little Lamb at bedtime. But yeah, the most important thing is gathering as a family for corporate worship, and that's where they pick up a lot of what they learn. And then what we do at home just reinforces what they learn on Sunday.
Do you begin by singing the hymn to them or with them?
Well, yeah, I start by singing it. I sing it around the house. I sing it anytime, and then they start singing it with me. And then one of the neat things about having this book is that once my daughter knows all the words because she's heard me singing it so much, is she can follow along with the words. She's 4 years old, and it's helping her to read, so she can follow along with the words. And she's very proud of herself, and she wants to do this. She wants to show me how she can sing the song and read the words.
So you're talking about kids that, I mean, you're talking about beginning with kids that aren't reading yet, that may not be completely, what shall we say here, verbal in every aspect of the sense?
Well, yeah, I would call my kids verbal. They're certainly able to sing and talk, but yeah, there's different levels that kids are at, and the project that I made is one that I think can grow with kids. It's not just for the littlest kids. There's also questions for discussion that you can also build on that. Like, you start with the basics. They might not understand every word, but then they ask questions. What does this mean? And then you can talk about it. So
you mentioned that kids naturally, because they're kind of memory sponges in their early years, they naturally memorize these things. It's not really something you have to drill into them. What's the value of these of kids having these hymns memorized for teaching them these hymns on a daily basis?
Well, childhood and the ages that my kids are at right now, these are really formative years for them for learning things that are important. And that's why you want to expose kids to the good stuff early on, because this is the stuff that will be sticking with them for the rest of their life. You know, they may not have a cutesy VBS song stick with them for the rest of their life. I can't say that I remember the words of a lot of those kiddie songs that I learned growing up, even through my teenage years, but the words of hymns have stuck with me, and they're very comforting. They're all about Jesus and his work for us. They're prayers that can equip children against the devil. And to have words like that stick with a child, I would imagine would be a huge benefit and very comforting.
Well, when we come back from this break, we'll go through some of the hymns, beginning with O Love, How Deep. We're teaching hymns to children, talking about how to teach the historic songs of the faith to children. Kelly Klegis is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dream.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, June the 29th. Kelly Klegis is walking us through how to introduce children to the historic hymns of the Christian faith. She's a wife of a Lutheran pastor, mother of two young children in Manitoba, Canada, and author of the new book, Hosanna Loud, Hosanna, a treasury of hymns for children. Kelly, let's start with one of the hymns that you include in your book. Oh, Love, How Deep. How would you go about teaching and explaining this hymn to little children?
Well, Oh, Love, How Deep is one that I first encountered actually at a Higher Things conference. That would be For You in Minneapolis. You might remember that. There's a lot of words to it. We sang it over and over, which is how I memorized it the first time. So I thought this would be great to teach to my kids. It does have a lot of words. So how do you teach something with a lot of words to a small child? The way I chose to picture this hymn, which is really all about the for you of Jesus and his coming to us and what he did on earth for us, it uses a lot of repetition, which is helpful. And it basically takes you through the whole life of Jesus and all of the things that he did, and points out that they were done for us. So I thought this is great for teaching a child. You can just take them straight through the life of Jesus, and they have all these things that Jesus did in their head. So how I decided to picture this was Jesus in the middle. I have a picture here that looks like a stained glass window, and there's Jesus, and there's little vignettes all around the window that talk about the different things that he did, that he came down, took on human flesh. There's a picture of baby Jesus in a manger, which is recognizable for kids. For us, he was baptized, so there's a baptism symbol. And by the way, symbols are a great way to teach kids because they're seeing these symbols in church, too. If it's a church that values hymnody, most likely they're seeing these symbols. So you just go through the life of Jesus, and all the way around Jesus, you see his temptation in the desert. You see him praying. You see him teaching from God's word, helping the sick. You see an image of his betrayal, the crown of thorns, dying on the cross, rising again, the ascension, the sending of the Holy Spirit. And that takes you through the whole song. And you can just go straight around this picture and point to the different scenes and just go all the way through the life of Jesus. And the bottom line, which is repeated over and over again in the song, is that all of this is for us. This is what Jesus came to do. He did all of this for us because he loves us.
Kelly, when you're going through a hymn like Oh Love, How Deep, and you're going not only through the stanzas of the hymn, but following along with all the vignettes you were talking about that describe the action, Jesus' action in the hymn, what kind of questions would you ask the kids teaching them that hymn?
Well, for kids my age, I would just ask them if they can see what's in the picture and if they can recognize, you know, the images. Yeah, just I would ask them, and why did Jesus do this? And, you know, for me, because he loves me. That's what you really want to drive home with this hymn, I think. So for a child that small. And as the child grows, they might have questions themselves about, well, what does this word mean? And then that's a great teaching opportunity, great for vocabulary, certainly. So, yeah, it's an exchange between the kids. You're teaching, you're finding out what they're seeing in these images. And they get to ask and learn and grow that way, too.
Another, and this one is one familiar to many of our listeners, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. How would you go about teaching that one?
A Mighty Fortress is a very comforting hymn when it comes to facing the devil and the trials of the world and the temptations that we have, and teaching kids that we don't need to be scared of the devil and the evil in this world, because ultimately Jesus has come and he has already defeated the devil on our behalf, and that no amount of tribulation and problems and things that might scare us can overpower us, because the judgment has already taken place. God has made us his children. He is this fortress. The image I used in the picture is that of a kind of castle fortress that communicates the protecting nature of God, and that he's strong, we can trust in him, and that we can come to him for refuge. And it ties also into the idea that the kingdom of God is ours forever, that, you know, should everything else in the world be taken away from us, we still have God, we still have his presence, and we will share in his kingdom forever. So those would be the ideas I'd want to point out with a hymn like this for kids.
You mentioned this one before, On My Heart Imprint Your Image. What do you want to teach in that very simple, in this case, very brief hymn?
What I really liked about On My Heart Imprint Your Image is that it contains an image in it, this idea of imprinting something on the heart that nothing can erase and get rid of. So I was thinking in my mind, like, kids coloring and making those really indelible marks that you can't get out of furniture or off the wall or anything. But that's exactly how we want Jesus and him crucified. That's how much we want it to be imprinted on us, that nothing would be able to get rid of that mark. And, yeah, this is one of my daughter's favorites to sing, too.
The another one that you mentioned before, and this is one that many parents probably would feel very comfortable teaching their kids, I Am Jesus, Little Lamb. What can you tell us there?
Yeah, that's a pretty popular kids' song, at least in our church circles. The image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd and we are our lamb. As I was reading this, I thought this would be a really good opportunity to teach kids about vocation, actually, because in daily life, as they're going through life, they don't see Jesus standing next to them with a shepherd's staff. But how does Jesus feed me? How does he lead me to the water that I need? And then you can teach about, well, Jesus gives us pastors, and Jesus leads us to the Word of God and feeds us with God's Word. Through the vocation of the pastor, he literally feeds me with food on a daily basis. Through the vocation of farmers and those who work in supermarkets, all these different ways that Jesus is taking care of me and is shepherding me and guiding me. So yeah, there's all sorts of different angles you can go on while you're teaching kids. Lots of different things you can teach kids. The nice thing about hymns, they're very rich and really delve into them.
The thing I noticed about the image that you have with I Am Jesus, Little Lamb, usually we see pictures of Jesus, Good Shepherd, holding a lamb, which I've always thought that for kids, especially small kids, is too big of a metaphorical leap for them to make mentally. You have Jesus with a lamb there at his feet, but holding a kid so that the children don't have to make that metaphorical leap.
Well, yeah, and I think it's helpful when you're doing pictures of maybe biblical images. Incorporating kids is a good idea. You can actually have a child picture themselves, like right in there in the action. So there's a picture elsewhere in this book of the prodigal son, and you have, you know, children on the side bringing the robe and the water for the prodigal son to wash and be cleansed. So yeah, putting kids in the midst of biblical stories, I think, helps them identify with the action of what's happening.
Finally, then, I'm curious, Kelly, in the course of teaching your young children hymns, how has it impacted your Christian faith as a mother?
It's been lots of really nice, pleasant shocks. There's nothing like hearing a three-year-old and one-year-old serenade each other with these songs, and I didn't realize when I started this project just how much it would help my kids with literacy, with being able to learn how to read. As a mother, as I mentioned earlier, hearing kids sing in church has been good for me as both a mother and as a church member to realize that my kids are part of God's family. They're not inferior parts, but we're all on the same page here. We're singing the songs of the church together, and confessing the same faith together, and I think that does a lot to bring a family together, especially rather than, you know, segregating everybody off, that this is a shared faith that we have as a family. I think that's really valuable.
Before we let you go, Kelly, tell us about your new book, Hosanna Loud Hosanna, A Treasury of Hymns for Children.
Well, this book, it features 25 hymns. There's different hymns for the different seasons of the church year and other topics that parents might want to cover with their kids. The first part of the book features just the lyrics of the songs as well as pictures to go with it. And the second part of the book has discussion questions. It has a melody line for reference. And the discussion questions are just different ways that you might want to approach teaching the song to your kids, whether they're really small kids and they just, you know, maybe focus on looking at the picture and pointing things out, or if they're older kids, there's Bible verses that you can look up and learn a little bit more about what the hymn's teaching. There's memory verses that go with each hymn. So I'm looking forward to continue using this with my kids. I like making different teaching resources and coming up with creative ways to teach stuff like this. It's important to my kids. I think it's a lot of fun, and kids seem to be getting a lot out of it.
Folks, you can find out more about Hosanna Loud Hosanna, a treasury of hymns for children, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Kelly Klagas is a wife of a Lutheran pastor and a mother of two young children in Manitoba, Canada, and author of the new book, Hosanna Loud Hosanna, a treasury of hymns for children. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin.
Well, when we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, we've got hour two straight ahead. We're going to kick it off doing what the church is doing on this day, remembering the apostles Peter and Paul. Then Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joins us to give us his thoughts on the state of preaching in the church today and how we ought to preach the law and the gospel. He says it's a finger-pointing business. That's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.